The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Question, deciding to hire employees or hire or partner with independent contractors. With the projected increase in new clients, I will need one or the other ASAP. I have experience with both, looking for your input. Yeah, really good question, Dante. And I know for some reason we'd talked and you'd mentioned you've got different locations, which is fine, but I would not, the location has nothing to do with W-2 versus 1099. So that kind of connection, like if they're close, they're an employee, if they're far, they're a contractor. I don't know that that's a helpful context at all. So let me give what I coach you to do and why. And at the end of the day, you'll make a decision. I'm going to support you. So my job is to help you understand the intended and unintended consequences to both. And then you kind of being well versed in what to do. You're like, okay, now I can make my own decision. So okay. I'll be honest. Typically I lean towards W-2 employees. So I'll make the case for contractors first, and then I'll tell you why I wouldn't coach you to do that. I'd coach you to do a 1099 W-2, and then I'll tell you why. So the only benefit really to 1099 contractor is the flexibility and the savings of payroll tax and workers' compensation. But the reality is I'm not comfortable having someone out in the world that doesn't have workers' compensation. Like Lindsay is a contractor for us, because I think she legally is one, but she just says, you know what I'm saying? If I was actually asking her physically go places in the world and do things with her body, I would want workers' compensation insurance, just because God forbid she got hurt when she was doing something for me. And I've had, 20 years, I think I've had two injuries that I can remember. And I always had workers' comp, and thank God I did. And I'm sure I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of workers' comp, and maybe they only cost me $63,000 of whatever, but just the headache and the, it won't take my business down is a big deal. So if I was going to go 1099, and the whole thing is technically like, well, they're supposed to get their own workers' compensation insurance. It's like, they make $14 an hour, dude. What's the likelihood they're going to have work? Zero. None of them are going to have work. So really, and you don't have to feel the same way I do, but if you do feel the same way I do, and you're like, I got to have them have workers' compensation. Now you're only saving on the payroll tax, because now you're paying for the workers' comp anyway. And you have to check with the workers' comp and see if they'll even cover a non-employee. So that whole thing of, I want to make sure if and when someone gets, especially when they're in the world doing things in cars going 60 miles an hour, I want that covered. So, okay. And by the way, you don't want to sell against someone with W-2 employees. If you got 1099s, you will get crushed. You are commercial, correct?
Residential.
Okay. Not as scary, but still scary.
Okay.
The homes we have are $1 million homes and up. We pay for cleaning. Frankly, I don't care. If they sent illegal people in here that could get hurt on my thing and they weren't insured, I know I'm the first to get sued, because they just go wherever the money is. So the owner of the cleaning company is going to get sued, and I'm going to get sued, and I'm probably going to sue the owner of the cleaning company going, you should have protected me. That's a mess. So when you're dealing with low value people, who I'm not going to coach you to do, they might be like, well, $300 instead of $350, but you have, that fine. But the people whose houses you really want to be cleaning are like, I need insurance. I need legit deal. I need everything above board. If they're going to be in my house, I don't want any fooling around. I don't really care about the price. So you're going to attract the wrong people with contractors. And if they find out what you're doing, and if they understand like, wait a second, I have now liability because of this guy, that's not a good look. So that's a big reason. So the only benefit for 1099 is it saves you money. And the only way it saves you money is workers' comp, which to me, it wouldn't save money, because I'm going to buy them workers' comp anyway, because I don't trust them to buy their own. You know, if it's a $200,000 contractor, a high level contractor, that's like an adult, and they're really, they can buy their own. But if it's a $12, $13, $15 an hour laborer, I have zero expectations they're going to get a workers' compensation insurance policy.
Okay. So just to kind of give you just a little background of why I did that process, because I was looking to, because I live so far away, I was just trying to go through the logistics of hiring a employee and managing it.
Makes no difference.
Okay. Because
ADP is going to do all the paperwork, and they can just email it out. So literally,
I was speaking about more of the logistics of getting the supplies and having to get a storage unit and just the logistics of managing an employee as opposed to.
But there's two kinds of contractors. Let's get clear on that. So I am a contractor for you guys, right? Like you, I don't, obviously I have my own insurance. Like you don't have to pay payroll tax, you just pay a fee, but I'm a real company and you know, I'm a real company because I have multiple clients. You know, I'm not just working for you. So if you hire, ADP is a contractor, right? They're not an employee. Yeah. It's not that relationship. So if you literally are hiring another cleaning company, if that makes sense.
So I'm actually partnering with, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let me finish your thought. If you're actually doing that, so, and again, I'm not here to judge. I just want you to be happy and get the life that you want. So my job is to point out all the risks and you go, aware of the risks, I still want to take them. Like, God bless. My job is to make sure you don't go with closed eyes, you go with open eyes. So there's two things. One, you have a, so let me finish for everybody the thought track I was on, and then I'll switch to you going, well, no, I'm actually hiring contractors, Mike, where they have a business and they're hiring the thing and there is workers' comp and blah, 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 blah. So we'll get to that because that's the easier conversation. For everybody else that's having this concern or this, which do I do? Workers' comp is a big one. And the only reason you hire a contractor is because you want to save money. If you're going to pay the workers' comp, you're only saving the payroll tax. And again, if you have the right customer, I promise you, commercial customers are going to want freaking real employees that they'll pay extra, right? And same with if you got good clients. So the saving money doesn't really work because you're losing the good customer. Good customers will require that you have employees or a real contractor that has employees. So they're W-2s for somebody, whether it's you or the guy that works for you, doesn't matter. And I promise we're going to come back to that. The other thing for most of you guys, you can say they're a W-2 or they're a 1099 contract, they're still a W-2, right? They have guidelines that they give. Do you provide their equipment? Do you provide their supplies? Do you give them training? Do you tell them when they have to show up? But these are all things I want to do. You want to provide them supplies, right? McDonald's doesn't go, cook your burgers however you want. They're like, use this bun and this many pickles from our vendor. And if you want to be a McDonald's, you got to do it like this. The only way you can give a reliable outcome is if you use commercial grade supplies. And it can't be like, well, for Apple, I use this and I use Pledge over there with Heather and whatever you want, Katie, just use whatever you want. It'll be fine. But I'm somehow going to give a complete, you can't do that. Right. So some things in some states, you can't even train them if they're contractors. Well, I'm like, well, I have to train them. What the whole freaking thing I'm doing is training. It's my job is to train, you know? So most of the time when people that are cleaners try to be, they think that they're contractors, they're really W-2. And God forbid you get audited and some $62,000 a year government bureaucrat retroactively goes, oh no, these were all W-2 and now you owe back taxes. It's a son of a bitch and you don't want any part of that. Okay. So A, they're probably actually W-2, not in your situation, but most situations where they're working directly for us. And we're like, I'll just call them a contractor. Fine if they really are. B, you're only saving money and you have to make sure you follow the laws. You can't train them, the supplies that you give them, when you tell them they have to be there, all these things, you know, company meetings, can you invite them to that? There's just too much garbage and I don't want to deal with it. So that's generally why. And again, if you've got the right customers, they're going to want a W-2 employee anyway. Real quick, Cleaning Nation, if you can think about how you found out about this podcast, maybe a tweet, a Facebook message, iTunes search, some sort of Instagram post, the only way we grow is word of mouth. We don't do paid ads. We don't run ads. You are it. The only ask I have is if you're getting value, share the love. However you found out about this, if it's a review or post, whatever it is, do that. Pay it forward so the next cleaning company owner can change their life as well. Back to the show. So for your circumstance, you're like, no, I got a W-2 employee. It's just not my employee. I'm paying somebody else. That's fine. You're just not going to get the margins you want. So it's going to be very hard if it's a $300 account and you're like, I want a 50% cost of goods sold. You're not going to get your cost of goods sold. So now you're out of the cleaning business and you're kind of in the marketing business or the contracting business and the tough business to be in. There's just not enough meat to go around where you can start splitting contractor, you know what I'm saying? Split margin between, you know, the guy that you're contracting with, he's got to get some margin. The guy's got to get paid. And it's not that fat of a business where there's that much margin to go around. So I'd have to look at your customer profitability. What's your average gross profit percentage on your contracted people?
Well, we do a 60-40 split. Pay them. What's that?
They get 60%?
Yes.
Okay. So and we need to be at 45 to 50. So you're only 10% under, but they are handling some stuff. So
Once again, I'm not doing any training. I'm not supplying. Yeah. I'm actually part. I actually present it to them as if I'm just getting them, new deals and the leads are closed. Totally. I handle the customer service.
It's not a business I'm going to want to scale and put all my net worth and equity in, because at some point they're just going to go, what the hell do I need you for? And they'll steal your cut. And you can have them sign agreements all you want, but good luck. So if you're 60-40 split and you really don't have to do anything, they're covering workers' comp, all the headache, all the trade, they're covering all that. It's a deal I'll take, but that's not what I'm looking to do going forward. So I'm not going to build my business on that model. I don't think it's scalable, going to get your ultimate goals, but there's nothing wrong with, if it's working for you now and you like it, God bless, do that. So that makes sense. Like, I don't think we need to build it. And again, there, and just make sure that they're doing the right thing. Cause if they're contracting, the problem rolls right up to you. If they're like, oh, we're doing 1099 contractors and they're not insured. I still want to make sure they're insured. So I'm like, are you W-2ing? Are you paying payroll tax? And it sounds like they are.
Yes. So
you've got a really good deal. They've got a really bad deal. Which fine. I'm here to coach you and I'm okay with it. And you're not, as long as you told them the truth, there's no moral judgment. I'm just saying anytime you're getting a good deal and they're getting a bad deal, you're running the risk of they go, wait a second, getting a good deal and leaving. And then that's why I just don't want you to kind of have these company be your linchpin or your only situation. So I like it. I would just find it as a little bit of a gravy train and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in it. And as long as I get paid and everything goes, God bless, but that's not how I'm going to build my business. Cause again, there's at some point, 40%, frankly, is just too much for marketing. Like you can go to a Janie King or a Mary, you know, whatever, and they'll charge 20%. And give probably more support than you're giving. So as soon as they realize that, they'll go, what the hell am I doing with this guy? Which is,
well, I guess the reason why it attracts some people is because, like, if you have, you know, employees and your calendar is not full, by partnering with me, you know, I'm just giving them the job. It's already done. It's not, they're not paying for leads. They don't have to worry about doing the estimates. I'm processing the payments. So basically all they have to do is go when they show me that they have their insurance, and we do the background checks. I get it.
This is a straight up franchise relationship, and don't do a franchise because it's so much work.
No.
I'm just saying most of the time the franchise only gets 20 to 30%. You're getting 40. That's all I'm saying. So they're on them. I'm like, I'll just get a Molly mate. Like there's better deals available and I'm not judging. I'm just saying, I want you to know that as soon as they find out there's a good chance they leave you and all the benefits that you're talking about, they can get that elsewhere for cheaper. That's all I'm saying.
And the good thing is they can still keep their clients. So they're not just working for me.
Yeah, totally get it. But again, at some point they're just going to go, I don't need you at all. So again, no judgment. I love it. If you're like, this is how I want to build a $1 million business and retire, I'd be like, oh gee, I'm not saying you couldn't. I'm just going, man, that's so risky. I just don't like it. I'd rather when you own some and try selling that. It's almost impossible to sell because any sophisticated buyer is going to come in and go, what the hell are you doing? Oh, I just set up these people and introduced them and now I do nothing. A sophisticated buyer is going to go, well, when I come in, why the hell would they? You see what I'm saying? There's nothing there to sell. So for cash flow, and if it's working for you, especially if it's another city and it's a real contractor and they're paid and you're just getting a nice fat chunk for not doing anything, God bless you, dude. I will take all those deals that I want, but I would look at them as gravy, not my business. Like that's just some extra money coming in until it stops coming in. When you have your own employees and your own contracts and everything is in-house, that's something you can sell and scale and grow. And it's going to be more. And again, you get the full, you know, I'd try and get my cost of goods sold at 45%, not 60. So there's an extra 15% margin, do all that stuff. I wouldn't say it's scalable or something I'd build a fortune on, but if you're like, hey, I got 5, 10, 20 grand a month coming in doing that and I don't have to do anything, I'm like, God bless you, man. Keep that party rolling, but just don't assume it's going to stay forever because it probably won't.
Okay.
Cool. But I like it. And that's a very specific, and just to be 1000% sure, they are W-2 employees for the person you're contracting with. And they do have workers' compensation, the physical cleaners, or are they going directly through? There is a middleman that has the liability is what I'm asking.
Yeah. So the people that I actually partner with are the owners of the business. So we're just others. Okay.
Do they provide you with workers' comp statements? Like, hey, here's a thing showing that I have a policy and these people are covered.
I make them provide me with the general liability insurance. I don't make them provide
the freaking workers' comp.
Workers' comp. Okay.
1000%. My thing is there's not enough margin for them. So I'm like, where are they cutting costs? And my fear is if they're going, we just want to do workers' comp. I'm like, well, now the margin that they should be getting, cause you're taking all the margin, which is fine. I'm on team Dante, man. They're like, oh, I can make extra margin by cheaping out on the workers' comp. Well, great. Until someone gets hurt. And then they're the poor freaking cleaner. He's the guy that's like, and then again, trust me, you get sued, you're the rich, ugly business owner, and this poor person got hurt and you didn't take care of them. And it goes badly if you get sued. So I would be, and at least if you're like every month or every quarter, whatever you deem, you got to send me a so even the liability, not when you start, like every month or every quarter, because having insurance today don't mean you have insurance tomorrow. Mm-hmm. At least if you had that on file every minimum quarterly, I'd prefer monthly. Especially if they want their check, like every month they send you their good insurance, you send them a check. if and when they didn't have insurance, you in front of court, you could be like, look, I was doing my job. Like I, you know what I'm saying? He defrauded me. And now you're more of a defendant than you are or more of a plaintiff of, yeah, I did everything. This is a reasonable thing that I made sure they had insurance and the guy would just defrauded me. Whereas if there's no paperwork and you just go, I told him he needed insurance and he showed it to me. And the guy's like, he never said that. Happened a year ago. What the heck are we supposed to do? But if you have it every month or certainly every quarter, here's my workers' comp, here's my insurance. And my guess is there might not be workers' comp. And then you have to decide, is the money worth the risk?
I understand. Okay.
And again, that one's up to you. Like just you know how it works. It's likely someone's going to get hurt. Very unlikely. Very, very unlikely. But if they do, and there's a, God forbid, a death or hospitalization or something, that is now your part-time job for the next 9 months, litigating and being litigated. And usually you just like the workers' comp, it's going to be their part-time job and they've got lawyers and they handle it. But when you don't have that, it's Dante and his lawyers. And it's like, you know, it's like Russian roulette and there's 100 chambers and there's only one bullet. Not that bad, but there is one bullet. So
yeah,
that's okay. All. I would just make sure. Yeah. So get clear on that one.
Okay.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.